At exactly 12 noon on Saturday, George W. Bush will formally begin his new job when he takes the oath of office to become the nation's 43rd president. The oath itself is just 35 words long, but Washington is gearing up for 4 days and nights of parties, parades, and festivities, including a Ricky Martin concert at the Lincoln Memorial. We wondered how the first inauguration stacked up compared to our latter-day ceremonies. Historian C.L. Arbelbeedy says that, in fact, there wasn't much of a blueprint to go by when America's first president took office.
Well, the Constitution only prescribes what the president-elect has to say. The formalities of the ceremony are left to the organizers. And so they're free to evolve this ceremony. There aren't parades in the beginning. There aren't fancy dress balls in the beginning. All of these trappings, if you will, start to evolve over time.
Ms. Arbelbeedy, what about the Bible? We're very used to seeing people swear with one hand, I guess it's the right hand raised up, and the left hand on the Bible. Has that always been a part of it?
Well, can you imagine putting together the first inaugural ceremony and Robert Livingston, who's the Chief Justice of New York back there in 1789, he's sitting around thinking about how it's going to go, and he says, I wonder if it would be legit if we didn't use a Bible. And the Bible is very ingrained in the society at that time. It's ingrained in colonial America. And he chooses to go hunt for a Bible. They couldn't find one.
And they couldn't find one?
the Bible's no one nearby. And so he sends out a search party, if you will. This is a man of nothing's held back. And they find it in the nearby Masonic Lodge, where today it is on exhibit. And it's also available for any president-elect that chooses to have it as the Bible that he would like to use in the ceremony.
What about the vice president, the actual swearing in? Was that always done at the same time with the president?
Well, here we're looking at John Adams, who becomes our first vice president, but he's sworn in 9 days earlier than Washington is.
Can you paraphrase it all, that oath? Is it something?
Oh, it's quite short. In fact, it's I, and he would state his name, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States. Now, as a little footnote, in the Civil War, during the Civil War, they changed this oath to reflect a loyalty phrase, adding to it defending the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office of which I'm about to enter. So help me God. It's not mentioned in the Constitution that God is part of the presidential oath, but they do add it. And perhaps that issue evolves out of the crisis that's facing the country and the spiritual need that goes along with this whole issue of celebration and commemoration.
Historian C.L. Arbelbeedy, her article on presidential inaugurations appears in Prologue, a publication of the National Archives. Thank you.
Thank you.